Welcome to Us and My Mice.
Love you and I, cause I love you so much. Oh, 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 I just love you. I just like help, help. I just like help. I just like you too. I just like you. I just love you. Happy New Year, I love you, say goodbye. You're going to school, and that's okay. Yum, 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 I just love you.
Hi, everybody. It is Family Time with Bob Oakley, and I'm your special host today, Mary Stanley. Welcome to Optimize My Life Radio, the perfect place to find tips and tricks to make your life better. From entrepreneurs to lifestyle experts and everyday people in between. Each episode will bring you inspiring stories, practical advice to help you maximize your time, your energy, and resources. We offer hope, and where there is hope, there is freedom. Our founder, Joel Griffin, also established the Hope Collection, a non-for-profit organization that sponsors Optimize My Life Radio that you're listening to. Through its programs, it supports areas in faith, family, food, housing, wellness, energy, arts, and education, giving thousands of people the opportunity to better their lives, whose motto is helping others by helping them help others, creating a ripple effect of positive change. Tune in Monday through Friday at noon Eastern to join us live by calling in. The number is 714-816-4686. You can also join our podcast network and our website at optimizemylife.info and also on all major social media platforms at Optimize My Life. At Optimize My Life, tune in to the Optimize My Life talk radio for an entertaining, insightful look into the lives of people who know how to help and how to get the most out of life, from entrepreneurs to experts in lifestyle. Each episode offers so much. And are you searching for fun and insightful way to maximize my life? Well, then you'll love Optimize My Life Radio. Today's show, we are talking about understanding. Not only understanding, but understanding your family heritage, where you come from. It is an important part of life. It provides insight into who you are and how you interact with the world around you. Your family heritage gives you a sense of belonging and identity, and as well as it provides a source of strength and resilience. It also provides a sense of pride and connection to your ancestors and to their accomplishments. Exploring your family heritage can help you understand your own values, your beliefs, and your culture, as well as provide an opportunity to learn more about your ancestors and the history of your family, and also a way to connect with other people who share similar backgrounds and experiences. Ultimately, understanding your family and heritage can be a powerful tool for self-discovery and personal growth. So many people struggle with understanding who they are. And to understand that, you need to understand where you came from. And one thing I am learning as we go through life and the more people I meet is that a lot of family traditions are not passed down from generation to generation anymore. We're not talking about the good, the bad, the ugly when it comes to your heritage, where you came from, what you're doing, why you're doing what you're doing. who you are. Take it and go. You know, I always, when I was raised, my grandma always shared our family history with us. Our family came over here from Germany and Ireland right before World War II, or before World War I, excuse me. And a lot of the traditions that I grew up with, one, speaking the language and knowing the language, and St. Nicholas Day and all these other things was passed down to me because my family believed it was very important to know our background and our heritage and who we were. Hello?
Yeah, good morning. I wanted to find out if today,
It's really hard to understand you. I can't. You might have to hang up and call back because it's too much. Sometimes the connection doesn't always work out the best, so just hang up and call back. Hello? Oh, someone's having technical difficulties. And that happens a lot. And this is where learning who you are is so important. It helps you gain the understanding of why you do things the way you do things. You know, there's a lot of talk about nature versus nurture. You know, how much of what we do, the way we think, how we think, is hereditary and how much of it is environment. But it also helps you understand, as growing up, what you experienced, breaking the cycle. You know, for instance, domestic abuse. A lot of times, you know, back not so long ago, it was considered the norm. And so it was something that wasn't talked about. It was just something that was just the way it was. But we're still, you know, not sure how much of nature versus nurture, how much is impacted both ways. And there's so many arguments about that. But which way it goes, but it helps you understand why you react the way you do, why you do what you do. No, we know, you know, such as your physical characteristics and your biology are genetic. Know your color of your eyes, your hair, your skin, some diseases. This is where it starts to wonder about how much psychological characteristics, your behaviors, your tendencies, your personal attributes, how much of this is wired before you've been born. And how much of this do we turn around and do? To unprogram what's already been pre-programmed. And the big thing is your culture. You know, celebrating your background, who you came from, what you are. You know, in our world, or in my world, we celebrate St. Nicholas Day. We celebrate traditions of the German culture, because that's what I was raised. And doing research and figuring out where you come from. So your family, your cultural background shape your attitude about your mental health and well-being, and how you target to cope with problems and difficult situations, and how to talk about them, and who you talk to about them, and how you seek support can help you practice self-care and resolve these conflicts. You know, some cultures don't believe in help. Going to the doctor, seeing a therapist, seeing a coach, and understanding why they believe that helps you get out of that, break the cycle. But, you know, right now there's so many, we identify who we are based on our heritage, our culture, our families. And not knowing where you come from does have a holds a key to being a little disconnected or isolated. And being part of your culture helps you, give you that sense of community, but it helps you give you an identity. It's okay to have an identity and to be somebody. Hi, Country Boy. We're talking about why it's so important for you to learn your culture and your identity to move forward in life. For one,
alrighty,
to help break
you,
the
bro.
Cycle. Because, you know,
yes,
a lot
ma'am.
Of cultures don't believe in seeking help, going to therapy, going to the doctor. So a lot of people struggle with life because they don't go out and reach it because they're taught it's bad. I grew up in that culture. A lot of the German culture was that way. You know, you didn't go to the doctor unless you were on your deathbed. You fought it to the end. And a lot of times it was too late. You didn't talk about it. You didn't deal with it. You just, you know, my grandma growing up, you know, you didn't talk about emotions. You weren't an emotional person. You just dealt with it. You were a strong individual, and you handled it. And you suffered inside. And learning that helped break the cycle for me.
It's funny you say that, but one of the very first things that hit my mind when you said that is I had to always run to my grandmama when people told me certain things. And the one I grew up with, Mary, is big boys don't cry. One of the very first conversations that you and I had off air was that children/grown people have emotions. That's one of the things that God gave us that makes us different from all the other humans. Have you ever seen a lion cry? Have you ever seen a giraffe cry? Have you ever seen an elephant cry? Well, see, these emotional things is what releases you and frees you, those toxic things that build up on the inside if you don't let it out. My grandmama told me if I ever got to the point of being a man and didn't cry and let my emotions come out into the tear, that I was part of the walking dead. Now, see, if you come on a different part of the world, then you might experience a different type of thing. But if one does not hold on to one's culture, it was already tough enough being shut down by Corona and taking your coworkers away and taking your church friends away and taking your best friends away. And now you're locked down, afraid, not born with a spirit of fear, but afraid to go somewhere. So here's the thing that we have to understand. Mary just said it. She just gave y'all the cliff note. If you're going to move forth in life, number one, it's important. It's super, super, super important to know where you came from. If you don't, it's going to take you a lot longer to figure out where you're supposed to be going, because our ancestors did leave a path for us to follow to a certain extent, but they gave us some teaching, Mary. Raise a child up the way that you would have them to go, and hopefully with that culture and that spirit that they won't depart from it.
To the extent, you know, part of understanding where you came from, we were talking about this right before you came on the show, was, you know, the cycle of domestic abuse. You know, back in the 20s and before that even, hell, even in the 50s, it was okay. It was accepted. You could hit your spouse in public and no one would say anything about it. You didn't go to jail for it. It was okay.
Oh, because you're the man of the family. But you say goes.
That's right. Same with, you know, spanking your kids or beating your kids. That was considered okay. I mean, you know, we were watching an episode of, I think it was Leave It to Beaver or Dennis the Menace, and they talk about whooping. You know, go get daddy's belt. You know, understanding that that may have been the culture back then is not okay now. We know now what damage that does to kids. I'm not saying don't punish your kids, but doing it in a constructive manner.
Mary,
you know, understanding
what show
all
watched
these culture norms. Go ahead.
Guess what I watched a little. Guess what I watched a little clip of about 2-3 weeks ago. It was a movie called Irreconcilable Differences. For the first time, I was shocked and still hung open with my mouth open even nowadays to where I seen a kid divorce their parents. Not in our culture. They said, I bought you in this world, girl. I'll take you out. That means I'll
take you out. Yeah.
If you don't want to hear what they say. But now the children ain't afraid of nothing. We used to tell the kids where to go. Now they tell you where to go.
You know, and that's true. And, you know, we walk a fine line with that because I believe kids should speak up and say something, but you should still have that level of respect at the same time within reason.
But see, the culture.
No, you don't. But you go down south. And, you know, I experienced this a lot when I traveled in the military. You know, you go down south, the kids open the door for the adults. They don't even think twice. It's yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, thank you, please. And you go up towards the north, you don't hear that.
Wow.
You know, you go down south, you pray before football games. You pray before sporting events. Because that's the culture. It is God, sports, and family. Here, it's not like that. So even your culture is different based on where you live in even this own country.
My grandmother.
And being tolerant of that. Go ahead.
My grandmother said, Grandmama, how are you doing today? Thank be willing to God, baby, I'm still here. Grandmama, what we going to have for dinner today? Well, if God sees fit, baby, I'm going to string some of them green beans. I'm going to cook some of that pork chops. I'm going to boom, boom, boom. If God sees fit, if God sees fit. My grandmama had a sixth grade education, but a master degree in spirituality, and she downloaded it to me. I don't speak in tongues. I don't go around throwing Bible scriptures in people's face. I read the Bible. I read it every day. But at the same time, it's a part of my culture. Country boys, not just the location. Country boys and attitudes. You told me your attitude determines your latitude. And then Lynn Cain came in and threw a little curveball on me, and he calls it kindness. She says, baby, I don't care where you go in life. Always treat people the way you want to be treated. And one of the international words that don't have to be translated is L-O-V-E. You can say it in whatever culture you want to say it, pronounce it however you want to say it, with accents and syllables that may not even be in there. L-O-V-E, the greatest gift. You didn't do nothing to learn it. You didn't do nothing to earn it. To each one of us, a measure was given. She told me, regardless on where you go in the world, baby, be nice to people, treat people the way you want to be treated, and let your little culture light shine. Oh, what she mean by that? God says, and I told you I was going to give you a couple of cliff notes. He says, I am. I am the truth. I am the light. And my grandmama says, baby, you let your little light shine. Why? Because I'm a personal representative of the divine creator who created me, and I'm supposed to show people the same compassion, the same mercy, the same grace that he showed me. It's a cultural thing. They're not going to teach it to you in no book at school.
Now, you being who you are, I'm going to ask a question. It may, you don't have to answer it if you don't want to, but
only if you don't want to, only if you don't want to hear the truth.
I want the truth. So it's Black History Month, and we're going to do a lot of talking about the culture and, you know, everything that's going on. Now, you take the culture, you take slavery, and you take all this. My family hasn't been here long enough to know any a lot of it, but, you know, when do you get to that point in life where you look at what your families have been through in the past? And I learned a lot, talked a lot about this when I was down south, and let bad things that have happened go and move on and empower yourself that, yes, my family dealt with that. Yes, we handled that. We survived it. And use it as an empowerment tool and not as an excuse to be a victim. Because the reason I'm asking this is that, you know, I look at slavery similar to the Jews in the Holocaust. You know, I have really good friends of mine.
But it didn't
correct,
last 400 years.
And that's the thing. that's what I'm saying, though, is I didn't grow up with that history. I grew up with both sides of the Holocaust. And I have really good friends of mine that are basically my adopted grandparents that were in Auschwitz. And they tell me stories about it, but they empower from it. They use that as to tell their stories of what they went through to get people not to keep doing it, change the way you look at people. And that's why I'm asking is, you know.
So the question is what, Mary?
I don't
make it clear.
What do you do to, how? I don't know. I lost my train of thought. It's okay. It's just
okay,
empowerment.
See, those two,
you know, taking that struggle and using it as an empowerment, not a victim. I'm not saying pretend it didn't happen, but taking those stories, you know, Harriet Tubman and Whitley, and what they did for everybody, and use them to empower people to change what's going on and not just be the victim of what happened to your family in the past.
Well, as I said earlier, if one does not know where one came from and does not have a clue on your culture, I've only talked 3 to 4 minutes, but you've heard me mention my grandmother 5 times, cultural things.
Correct.
Certain things that you get when you're young, when you're growing up in the family, and regardless on what part of the world you reside in or came from, we're supposed to be United States of America welcoming the world. But see, what happened in the process of this, I hate to mention this thing, coronavirus, not only did mm-hmm. you move to a different city, a different country, a different part of the world, there were some family members left behind. There were some family members that kind of passed and went on to a better place. There were some friends that you went to school with that had part of your cultural roots, that they moved to a different part of the world, a different part of the country. They changed phone numbers. And then what happened in the process, you don't get the cultural hugs. We high-five. You remember you used to high-five each other? Then they started low-fiving each other. And then it wasn't safe to touch nobody no more. And when we walk up to each other, we bump elbows. That's not shaking hands. I don't want your germ. I don't know if you just used the restroom or touched the doorknob or scratched your head. I don't know. So the cultural thing, now we bump shoes. It's a cultural thing. If you look at the Oriental people, they don't shake hands. They bow in front of each other. So my question to myself is, how important is your culture? Can you come to my culture and listen to my music and feel right at home? Can you come to the dirty, dirty South and eat pork chops and mashed potatoes with gravy and all that stuff is going to give you a heart attack? I'm joking, but it will.
Oh, the color green.
See, that's part of my culture. Do you eat hog feet? No. You don't even know what hog maws are. I'm still singing a song trying to figure out what it was when I sung I was a kid. Way down yonder. Do y'all say yonder? In
Servants
the pawpaw patch. Google it. Pawpaw patch. Pawpaw is a fruit. But I've never seen one, but I've been singing a song because it's part of my culture. Way down yonder, picking up pawpaws, putting what in a basket? If you don't know, ask somebody. So that's what's happening now. Our children are so lost. Why? Because nobody, grandmama didn't rock them on the knee and rock them to sleep and breastfeed them. They're making milk out of powder. It ain't milk, it's powder. So they say, oh, you breastfeed your kids. Some cultures breastfeed. I know a culture that we won't talk about. We won't call them out. I know a breastfeed child that was 9. What? 9. I thought his daddy's going to say, wait, man,
sure.
You're going to have to go ahead and get you a bottle. Those belong to me. It's part of their culture. So how important is your culture? Very, 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 very. If you don't know part of your culture, I guarantee you, I don't even have to know you, but you're confused. You're a little lost. You want to make decisions, but you don't really know if it's right or wrong or the right thing to do or if it'd be acceptable. Very, 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 very important that you know your heritage.
We live in a culture right now where people are afraid to ask questions because they're afraid of offending somebody or making them mad or sounding insensitive because they can't ask it the right way because they don't understand.
It's like a news reporter running up to you and you just lost your mom and they stick the mic in your face and say, well, how do you feel, Mary? Like, what? How do I feel? What culture are you from? You're going to run up to me, stick the mic in my face, and ask me, you just lost your parents. How do you feel? boy, if I can emotionally tell you how I feel for you just asking me that question, I'd slap you. It's a culture thing.
It is, but how are we going to learn if we're too afraid to ask the questions?
Let me say it like this, and I just got it out of that little book I was reading a few minutes ago. Ask not, receive not. If you don't want to know, excuse my French, forgive them, Father, because they know not what they do. Ignorance is a choice that we have nowadays. If you don't know, ask somebody. Before I had a personal assistant, privileged enough to have one, there was a lot of things that I want to know because I'm the mighty Aquarian and my life goal is to learn something new every day. So if I didn't know, YouTube, come here. I don't have Icy or whoever that is now that you can just ask anything for. But it's, again, it's a part of a new culture that you must ask questions and stay until you get the answer. And please understand, it may not be the answer that you all always want to hear, but seek and you shall find. You got to be able to know in order to be able to grow. And anything that's living that doesn't grow dies. You heard me say earlier that if you don't know part of your culture, you don't know how to do this, and you don't know how to do that, you will surely die.
That's true. You know, it's what always I found just the coolest thing in the world was the Asian culture. You know, they revere the seniors and your parents and your grandparents. So instead of placing them in homes, they come and live with you and you take care of them.
Mary, for some reason you're breaking
you.
Up, baby. Mary?
Yeah.
For some reason your words are cracking, Mary. Make an adjustment, Mary. Something happened soon. Put to part of your world. Put to part of your world. That's better. That's much better. Go ahead, babe.
You know, I grew up where you take care of your seniors. You know, your family took care of you. You turn around, you take care of them. And the Asian culture is very strong with that, too. You have so many of the same so many generations living under one roof, and here it's like we can't get rid of them fast enough. Put them in home.
Ooh, I was afraid you was going to say that, Mary. Speak of the Afro-American culture, it was absolutely unheard of. You have no respect of any kind if you're going to do what? You're going to, watch this nasty word, Mary. You're going to put your parents in the old folks' home. To us in our culture, if you use the translator, you're putting your parents somewhere where you don't have to deal with them until they get ready to die. That's what it meant to us. If I had a translator to say put people in hospice, I put them over here, put them over there. Why? Because the brother is moved off to the other side of the world. The kid that was at home is no longer a kid anymore and moved off to college, and you just got a raise on your new job, but your mama's home alone, and she's 70 or 80-something and can't take care of herself, and you're afraid that she's falling and can't get up again. What do you do based on your culture? Mm-hmm. What do? Who you call? Roto-Rooter? And then when you talked about the Asian culture, I was privileged enough to have a personal assistant who was Asian American. She went from Hong Kong to Fort Wayne, Indiana, and from Fort Wayne, Indiana to Atlanta. Now, think about this. You decide you're going to get married and move from the other side of the world, from Hong Kong to a place that nobody in your culture has ever even heard of, Indiana. What happens when you get misplaced or displaced? See, that's what I'm working with right now, and I'm throwing this off the topic, Mary. I work with children between the ages of 12 and 20 years of age. Most of the children were foster kids time they were 3 to 4 years of age. Now they're with no high school diploma, no GED, and 38 counties, they've never met their parents. Wow. You're talking culture shock is getting ready to happen, Mayor. Culture shock. What path is this kid supposed to be on? Raise a kid up the way they want to do? I don't care and don't question Mark people's religion, but guess what? I'm born in the dirty, dirty, dirty South, they call it. We don't mind getting down in the dirt with you. You came from the dirt, you'll go back to the dirt. But I remember when I was a child, at the rightful age of 14, when I decided, it was a life decision that I made, to give my life, you know, whose life? You have a life to give? Yeah, I decided to give my life back to the person that gave it to me. I got baptized in the Chattahoochee River, and it was only 22 degrees outside, and the water was about 17. It chilled my body, but it didn't chill my soul. But if I was speaking about my Asian friend, who might just happen to be Buddhist, I bet she didn't get dipped in the river. Oh, I have another friend of mine who came up on the other side of the world, just happens to be Catholic, and when he gave his life to the divine creator, they sprinkled his forehead with holy water. Oh, I have another friend of mine who happens to live here in America, but she's from India, and she got mercury poison from water. And when she went home after 30 years to get healed, her culture says bow in humility, and we're going to come around and spit in your head. It's a culture thing. What works for one culture may not work for another culture. It's a blood thing. It's all driven by the blood.
No, it's like a buddy of mine here up in the north, especially Minnesota and Wisconsin area. I think they're absolutely insane personally, but they call it polar plunge, where you basically strip down into a pair of swimming trunks and jump into the frozen lake. A person who's fallen in a frozen lake unintentionally, froze her butt off, will never, ever do something like that for fun. But it's the thing out here. But it's like people, you know, we go ice fishing and think it's just, oh, my God, you're out there on the ice. Hi, Overton. How are you today?
I am well, just kind of counterpoint things I can relate to with Country Boy. I got the list right here.
We're talking about culture and hereditary and, you know, figuring out where you came from to move forward into life and how you have to know where you came from and what your family came from to understand where you need to go in life.
How important is that to you from a man's perspective?
Well, my simple solution is to not reinvent the wheel and understand the tradition is a solution to problems that were long forgotten.
Say it one more time, Oso. I didn't quite get that.
I said don't reinvent the wheel, and that tradition is a solution to problems that were long forgotten.
But we also have to understand that what worked in the 60s and 70s based on our culture no longer works in the 80s and the 90s. And now you have a new millennium child, they call them, that has partly lost their culture because somehow doing them reaching the rightful age, their mom might have kind of been taken out of the equation, their father might have been removed and taken out of the equation. We won't say how. He thought he went to get a better job, but he's working at Rackers Island Prison. There's a lot of things that are hidden mysteries in our culture, and as they slowly start to creep into hiding, our children become more and more and more confused because they don't have a clue on what their mom went through, what their grandmama went through, and they never even heard of their great-great-grandmama, which is only, you know, a couple of generations away. If we don't clarify certain things about our children, now you have to understand, it's not just a cultural thing. You was born into this world not even knowing your own name. You had to use some type of something to claim some type of fame. But see, when it moves into the family side, what if you was one of those little foster, misplaced, displaced kids that don't have a high school education, don't have a degree, don't. And, oh, the ones that I'm dealing with now, if they're 15 now, they just aged out of the program that they've been in for the last 3 years. Now you're 15 years of age, no high school diploma, no GED, don't know who your mama was, don't know who your daddy was, never even heard of your grandmama, and they want you to get out there and make the best you can do out of life. What are you going to do?
I am a product of that situation, and most of my family is. My brother don't have his GED. He, as well as myself, was fostered. And I wouldn't say I have my head on straight, but I learned from those who do have their a firm grasp on their culture and seems to be what's for my crimes, their situation well established, and I just ask questions. You know, it's all about the source of where you're getting your information from.
Sorry about that. My system crashed. I had to restart everything.
Wait, did anybody hear what I said?
Yeah, you all heard what you said. I didn't hear what you said. The system keeps running even though my computer doesn't stop or stops. It's just I couldn't hear it. I had to call back in.
Oh, okay. So question again, Ocean. What if Mary says, "Country, can I ask you a question?" I said, "Of course you can, but only if you want to know the truth." But see, what happens if you've been raised and you're a teenager or you're a young adult American or young adult Asian or young adult Hispanic and you don't understand where you came from? You didn't realize that you got dipped in the river. My friend who's Latino's parents had to swim across the river. They didn't get dipped in the river. They had to swim across the river. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But see, if you don't get some those questions answered into your life, you're going to be wandering. You remember wandering and not really know where you're going? Because if you don't know where you came from, then it's hard for you to determine on where you're going. And then I just said, we was born into this world not even knowing our own name. And most of the time, we even had to go by a name that somebody else gave us. And if you're now going by a name, but you don't even know who names you. People sometimes, especially if they have a unique name that I've never heard of before, and I would say to you, "Mary, who named you?" And she goes, I seen her shoulders go up in the air. She didn't even say nothing. "Who named you?" "I know who named me. I didn't like my name. I wanted to change it." "I did. The
but
country
me,
boy, my real name is Bradford. Every Bradford I met back in the day was gay. I don't want to be no Bradford. I don't want to be like them. Who do you want to be like?" "I want to be like my granddaddy." Why? Because he was a prayerful man. He never did anything in the morning until he prayed. He didn't drink coffee. Neither do I. It's a cultural thing. I drink milk. Why? Because we had 6 milk cows. I drink 3 gallons of milk a week. It's a cultural thing.
You know, that's what it is, too. Actually, for my name, you know, I don't know where it came from. It's the first female of every generation is named Mary, named after the one before that. So there's a long line.
That's so you can keep
of
the heritage moving.
Correct.
Pass the baton from one to the other so the heritage will never die. And you might be the one 4 generations away and say, why is my name Mary? Who named me Mary? Oh, my great-great-grandmama was named Mary. And then it will start to make sense to you because you asked the question, and now you're getting some information. If we know better, we can do better. But if we don't know, wow.
But you ask who starts it, they're like, someone before you. So, you know, I don't know the origin of it, but it started years ago.
Mary, I got a term I'm going to throw it out there in the airway. It's not trying to open up a can of worms. Shacking up. What does that mean to you, Mary?
Me? I was raised it was hooking up. Before
shack,
shacking.
Mary. No, shack. S-H-A-K.
Yeah, I mean, you're living with somebody that you are hooking up with before you're married.
Ah, shacking. That's a cultural thing. Oh, they say, you're not going to marry that woman until you test the water. You want water. That was okay. It was acceptable back in that if you met somebody who you thought you loved, you might want to live with them for a little while. Test drive it a little while. See if she can really cook like she said she could. But nowadays, that's sinful. It was sinful then. It's sinful now. But if that's part of your culture, then that's part of your culture. You see what I'm saying? Back in the
mm-hmm.
old days, when you
okay.
decided that you was going to marry somebody, all the families, both sides of the families, the Hatfields and McCoys, even if they've been feuding, if I tell you that I love you, now we're going to have to join forces because we're one big giant family. One big giant family. And they said, okay, now that you're married, Mary, you can go in there with Country Boy and come out and bring the sheets with you when you come out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was just a cultural thing to make sure that everything was going to be out all right.
Yep. And now it's all okay to do whatever you want. We don't have morals and ethics anymore.
And not just with children, you guys. You can walk around, and if you wanted to do a little personal survey today and ask anybody, do you have any morals? And they look at you like you're crazy. Ask them where they got them from. I bet they didn't buy them at Walmart. There's something about a culture that helps define who you are, even if you don't know who you are. I know people that I've known for 40 years now. I'm 60. For 40 years, I grew up with them, went to school with them, and they say, what's Obie's name? We call him Boo Boo. Boo Boo, what's his real name? I don't know. You said you've known him all your life. It's a cultural thing that we give each other nicknames, so if we was ever out and about and we did something that we wasn't supposed to do, nobody's going to say, Country Boy, come on. Like, man, you just busted me. Country Boy, you going to yell my name out loud? That's a cultural thing. You don't yell somebody's name out because you just told on me.
Right, and it's the same way, like, you know, in the military. You know, that's a whole new culture. And that's part of the reason why a lot of us have a hard time when we get out, because we lose that culture. We lose that commodity. You know, I've got really good friends. I've known for 10 years. I couldn't tell you what their first name is because we don't use them. So it took me forever for someone to say Mary that I actually responded to them, because you got used to not using your first name. You always got – you ran around with your name on your shirt. It's your last name. You got called by your last name.
Now, if somebody calls me by my name, hey, Brad, I keep walking. They don't really know me. If you call me by my real name, you don't know me. Now, ain't that strange? That's a cultural thing. You call me one of them little ghetto fabulous names, one of them slang names that nobody knows except the people that know you. It's a cult. If I talk to one of my friends who's Latino, I ask him, who is that? That's Felipe. Who is that? That's Jose. Who is that? That's Felipe. That's Jose. Talk to my friends in the Indian culture. I got about 20 plus. All of them have the same name, Patel. What's your real name? Patel. Mary, the same thing that you just said. Their last name might be Patel, but even if it's not, that's what you call them.
Mm-hmm.
My granddaddy used to say, well, look, boy, when you leave up out of here, you better have some respect. You better have some dignity. Why? because it's not just about you. It's about the family. If you go out there and do something that's not right, that's not just, it's nasty, it's a reflection on the whole family. You understand that? It's a family affair. And I had 7 brothers, 3 sisters, my mom's sister, they call them Mary and Martha. She had 5 kids, put 5 with her 9, that's 14, put grandmama and granddaddy in there, that's 15, 16, and my uncle, well, she had 7 sons that went to the war and came home alive, but my one uncle lived with us. How you got 17 or 18 people living under one roof and nobody goes hungry? They said, Mary, country boy, get in here, it's dinner time. You put your game down, you put your toys down, you come and wash your hands. I see people now come in from outside playing, just been on the playground, just been shooting basketball, just came from the grocery store, just came from playing with their friends, just touched the car handle, just touched their hat, just took their shoes off, and come and sat down to the dinner table. Not in my house. My granddaddy says, are you washed and ready? It's a cultural thing. You don't touch nothing. You don't lift a pot on the lid on the stove. And when you use the bathroom, you let the toilet seat down. It's a cultural thing.
It is. And it's, you know, why, hi, sir. How are you?
Who is joining this, Mayor?
Give me one second.
Hello, Mary, country boy.
There we go.
Oh, man. How you doing, Bob?
Yeah, how's it going?
Good, good, good.
We are talking about culture and knowing where you come from to know where you're going in life, understanding your family's past and why things are the way they are, why you do things the way you do things.
So, old man, did you grow up wanting to be like your father or your grandfather? Did you have that cultural thing passed down from one generation to the next?
Yes.
Tell us about your culture, Bob.
You're right.
You got grandkids now. I know you're downloading some of what used to be, how it used to be, how you was raised, and how you learned the respect that you have, young man.
Absolutely. Yeah, we learn from by generation over generation, we learn from our families. But that's not everything. That's not the only one we learn from. There's many, many other people we learn from as well. I learned a tremendous amount from Dr. Joel Griffin, you know.
We're talking cultural mentor now, which is, again, a different kind of subject matter. But at the same time, if you guys have something in common, our father, then again, you'll learn certain things from Joel's culture, just like I learned from a friend of mine who was born in Nigeria. He taught me how to cook things underground, Bob. They didn't use a whole lot of pans and pots where he was from. But I said, well, you didn't have an oven? Well, how do you cook? If you were raised in my household when I was young, this sounds crazy right now to a new culture. 365 days a year, old man, regardless on whether it was 20 below or 92 degrees on the outside, there was a fire burning. There was a fire in the wood heater. We used the wood heater for heat. We also used the wood heater on the left side of the wood oven that we had was a big, deep trough that held 3.5 gallons of water. So if you needed warm water or hot boiling water, you would just go lift up the right-hand side of the stove and deep it down in there and get you some water. If you wanted a leftover biscuit, you would reach in the top portion and let the little drawer down, and there was warm biscuits in the oven. But if I was to tell my sons now the same story that I'm sharing with you guys, that we had a fire burning 365 days a year, even if it's 90 degrees outside, they would look at me like I'm crazy.
Yep.
They have a gas burning oven. There's no gas tank in the yard. We used to get spankings for riding on a gas tank because the petroleum man would bring the truck to our house and pump gasoline in the tank, and that's what we used when we did away with the wood heater. So back to you, Oak Man. We was wanting to know what jarred you, what geared you, what directed you into this day as a young man. What did you learn from your family, from your heritage, from your culture that you will never depart from?
I learned to be work hard and set goals, and don't give up easily. You know, just keep doing it until you get it done. And
do you know any lazy people?
I also learned to be a good Christian from my mother, not from my dad, but from my mother.
Do you know any lazy people, Oak Man?
Any what?
Lazy people.
Yes, I do.
Do you hang out with them?
Nope.
Your culture won't let you. Because you grew
That's
up
right.
thinking that you should work hard.
Right, right.
So that does that mean that your culture had something to do with who you hang out with?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I just wanted to know. did you have any alcoholics in your life, any thugs in your life? What kept you on the right path is what I'm alluding to, Oak Man. What from your culture made you and transformed you into the man that you are today?
Well, I think the fact that I found the Lord early on, even though my dad was not a believer, my mother was a strong believer, and my grandmother was too. And so I think that's what kind of shaped my view of life and my view of passing that on to my children.
That's what we're talking about.
I believe that the man is the leader of his family, and he's also the spiritual leader of his family. And he has to ingrain it in his children, and his wife, in many cases. I think that's important, and that's
did
that's
they teach
helps
you,
us.
Did they teach
helps
you how to
set
play
their culture
Oak
in
man?
The future? You know.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Did they teach you how to pray in school?
Did they teach me how to pray in school?
Yes, sir.
Well, I went to a Catholic school for a while, for a couple of years, and I can't remember if they did or not, but I know in public school they didn't.
Oh, so they won't let you bring your religion in school, church versus state kind of stuff. So what happens if one doesn't learn how to pray at home? What does one do, Oak Man?
Well, you have to learn from your family, and you have to learn from people that you associate with. And but the basic come from I believe family.
I just said it like that because before you came on, I was just talking about some of the children that come through my program with Atlanta Children, because how many 3 to 4 years of age, they're foster kids, time they reach 12 to 14 years of age, they've been to 6 to 8 different foster homes, so they really didn't know their mom. They didn't really know their dad. They didn't hear no stories about their grandmama. So what does one do nowadays, that's being in 2023, that has no history, no heritage, no cultural background information that can help get them forward? What does one do? That's for anybody. What does one do if you have none of the things that we're talking about today, cultural way, raise a child up the way they should go, they learned and taught you how to bow on your knees and close your eyes and pray. What happens if you don't know what to say and no one ever showed you how to pray? What does one do?
Here's the cool part. A couple of those genealogy websites, they will, if you were adopted or if you're in a foster situation so you never knew who your biological families are, they will give you the testing for free and help you set up and look for your past instead of paying all the money to do it. It's like $100, I think, $50, something like that. So you can research your background and find family that you're connected to that you didn't know even existed. There's lots of resources out there for people that are willing to help you. You just have to reach out.
It's hard to do, though, when you're 3 or 4 years old to reach out if you don't have anyone supporting you, a family member. And I think that's one of the problems we have in our country today, is the fact that there's a lot of one-parent families, and then there's a lot of no-parent families.
But the one-parent families, and I grew up as a one-parent family, when you don't have that, you have that drive that the average person doesn't have to figure out where you came from.
Easier
for us to do that because we want to know. We're trying to figure out who we are. We feel like part of us is missing.
That's exactly what I was going to say,
Mary. Not knowing who my biological dad was.
It's more than a riddle.
Even if a child is put into a foster parent situation, that's not always. That's not going to necessarily teach them the values that they really need in their life, and it's not going to teach them to be a spiritual person and so forth. So it's difficult. It's difficult for children that sort of abandoned, or maybe both parents have passed away and the grandparents are gone. So it's difficult for a child like that. How do they I really never really thought about that much because I never had that situation in my life. It's an interesting question.
And then also, Oakman, my grandmama used to always make it real clear. In the country, they had a saying, you're too grown for your britches. They didn't call them pants. They call them britches. What does that mean? My grandmama pointed out to me that your age has nothing. Your age has nothing to do with your intelligence level. Your age just means how long you've been here. We're focusing the energy on a child, raise a child up the way they should go, and if they're missing a part of their culture, part of their heritage, they spend a lot of time in their life wandering. And just like Mary said just now, you don't really know, but there's kind of like a void in your life that if you grew up not knowing your father, you grew up not knowing your mother, you grew up not knowing either or, you grew up and they moved you over here, Oakman, because you was in the military, and next year you was over in another city in another country, and over here you never established any friends. Now you don't know who your parents are. You don't know where you came from. You don't know where you're going. Wow. I'm confused now. I got confused having the conversation. I can imagine what it feels like. I really can imagine, feel feeling, the feeling that they're feeling when you feel like there's an empty side of you because no one has really hugged you and said, "Oak man, I'm proud of you. You turned out to be a nice young man." If you get that from an elder, get that from a friend, get that from an uncle, get that from a father figure, or get that from somebody that you don't even know, that part can help fill the void of the cultural gap that you have in your life. Because, again, your age has nothing to do with your intelligence level. That just means how long you've been here. And it's proven that we act more, watch this, spiritually mature if you know who your parents was and they spent quality time with you, teaching you things.
Yep. Absolutely. I'm just trying to think if I know anyone that been in my life that didn't have any family at all, you know, and they came up. It's got to be very difficult for a child in that situation. And it's got to be because they're living without leadership. They're living without example. They're living without anybody to support them. And like you said, tell you that you're doing a great job. You know, my parents always told me when I was performing in school that I did a good job. And I skipped a half a grade 1 year and another half a grade another year. And I moved up, and I graduated early. It was because of what my parents encouraged me to always do my homework, always get things done, always finish things when you start something, you know. So I think that was important in my life. But I can't imagine not having that. Like you said, not having that, how do we know how that child's going to turn out if there's no one to support him? Now the government
feels that they've
taken on some responsibility in that, but I don't believe that's doing the right thing. It's not doing the right job for children.
But that depends on the case. This is where culture and your family heritage comes into play. Nature versus nurture, because you look at people like Simon Beale. Look at all that she's done. She grew up in foster. She grew up without a family. And it wasn't until she got older that she got to know who her grandmother was.
Yeah.
And she became an Olympic athlete. She didn't let her obstacles in life stop her. And she became such a strong individual that she literally stopped in the middle of an Olympics when she could have won the gold and said, "I cannot physically and mentally do this. I'm done."
Yeah.
And she walked away.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, and I think it's going to happen to some of those children, but I think there's a lot of them that maybe go in the wrong way because they didn't have that someone to give them the example, someone to show them. When they were first from birth to whatever age, you know, probably puberty is where they learn a lot from birth to puberty. But I think it's interesting to think about that. And I just don't know. It makes me sad when I think about it too, because, I've never had that in my life. I've always had someone there, either a parent or a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle, somebody that would help me to get direction and set an example for me. You know what I mean?
But you can't go into it feeling sorry for individuals because they have a rough part of life. That's where you step up and say, well, this is what we can do to help them. This is what things like programs like Country Boy has developed, creating outsources and creating programs and different avenues for these kids to do things so they can see that they have potential. When you sit and say that, well, it's sad for them, then you're feeling sorry for them, but you're not doing anything about it, then you're just a part of the problem and not a solution.
Yep, and then, of course, we got people, I'm going to call him out now, like Ron Clayton, who has the audacity to come on international radio and say to the listeners out there, we are family. I got all my brothers and sisters with me. But look, you guys, when I said that, we have to understand that because of our religious...
I'm going to have to get back to work here, so I'm going to drop off. But that's a very, very interesting discussion, and a very important discussion, I think, to think about and to... Because that's an area maybe we can do something to help some of those people, you know. Individually, we can do something to help some of those people. So those young people. And I know you're doing some things, country boy, and I'm still doing some things with my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren to try to help them to have the right values and the right culture. So, but there's always more that we can do. People that are not in our family, you know.
Have you ever heard that term, you're my brother from another mother?
Yep.
I have one of those friends over in Houston, Texas. He's about as tall as Ron Clayton. He's about 6'4", about 260 pounds. I make fun of him. I call him my blood brother. When I moved to Houston in 1984, he has watching an old Indian movie with me, different culture, by the way, and said, country boy, we have so much in common, our father, our father, our father. He came from a different mother, but we have our father in common. He said, country boy, I want to become your blood brother. How you do that? He said, well, look, I saw the Indian culture cut their finger, and you cut your finger. That was before AIDS. That was before Corona. I could be dead.
We shared a blood, right? We shared a blood of each other, right?
We're doing a blood transfusion, Mary, on his sofa.
Yeah.
With his pocket knife, case double X. It wasn't sterilized. Just slit it just a little bit, Carter. You slit yours first. I ain't going to sit here and bleed while you wait to cut yours. If you change your mind, I won't be the only one bleeding. You're going to leave me hanging. So because of that, Oak Man, we became blood brothers for life. So when we mentioned Joel Griffin says we have family. I pledge allegiance to the flag, one nation under God. Lord have mercy, country, don't let the cat out of the bag now. One nation under God. So, Oak Man, it doesn't matter if your wife came from a different part of the world. Mary, doesn't matter if you've been around the world and you decide to come back home and marry somebody in your own hometown that you grew up with. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if I'm black. Doesn't matter if I'm white. Michael Jackson said that. Okay, so my brother's girlfriend / wife is a white person. She comes from Boston. She knows about the Boston Tea Party. She didn't know what we was doing when we were smoking weed. She thought they were supposed to be sipping tea. Different cultures bring about different things. But when Joel Griffin says, country boy, we're one nation under love. So when Joel set out this vision, he said, this is our mission. If you decide to accept it. My first company name was called Mission Possible. Not Mission Impossible. He said, country, I need your help. Oh, well, you need it. Oh, I forgot to tell you. The Hope Foundation says we help people, help people. We help people so that they can help people. Translate it from a country, you know, from a different culture. It's a blessing to be a blessing. You sure that's what you're supposed to say, country? I thought that's what Shakespeare said. He's from a different part of the country. He gave it to Hamlet. He's from a different part of the country. To be or not to be. Are you to be a blessing? Are you to be part of our family? We're going to take the best of the best from the north, the south, the East and the West, and we're going to allow everybody to come in and love their very, very best. God told me to remind you. He says, I am love. We was talking about bullying. We was talking about misery. Misery. Yeah, misery loves company. So does love. Why do we love you? Why? Because we care. We care enough to share enough information with you so that you know what you need to know in order to be able to grow and become part of our family. If you was missing out on a Big Daddy, Rick Reese, man, you're talking about a spiritual father who knows how to pray for his kids, even if in the middle of the Pacific on the other side of the world. He knows how to send out a prayer, an ultrasonic prayer that can reach you up in Minnesota, Mary. We are family because we have the same father in common. We're about our father's business. Yeah, we're about our father's business. Guess what? We want you to come forth. Why? Because you're uniquely designed and crafted in the divine creator's own image. Break the country style for them. Give us some culture, country. Ain't nobody can do what you do like you do when you do what you do. We just feel honored and privileged. Those are family kind of words. Honored and privileged just to be able to do anything with you. Reminder, ask not, receive not. I was reading that little book. He says, if you ask me, I'll give it to you. Oh, he told me to tell you, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Oh, he forgot to tell them. He put some adjectives in there. Exceedingly, abundantly, more than you can even imagine. Can you imagine being part? Everybody wants to be a part of something. Can you imagine yourself being a part of the Hope Foundation here in 2023 to where we have no hidden agendas, have no hidden motives on what we do? We have every intention on loving you. Yeah, and you too, even if you came in on the short bus like me.
You know, I wanted to just mention something. You mentioned the Pledge of Allegiance. You know, the original version of that did not have one nation under God, and that was added in the 1950s. And, you know, the organization that I belong to, the Knights of Columbus, was the one that petitioned the government to add that into the Pledge of Allegiance, and they finally got it added. So I just thought I'd mention that as a informational type thing. Hello?
Yep, nope, I'm listening. Yep. President Eisenhower actually signed it into law in 1954.
Yep. So it just shows to go you that people and organizations can accomplish things that some people would say, oh, well, you can't do that, or that can't be done. Well, it's proven over and over again that things can be done. And so I just that happened to come to my mind when you mentioned that, country boy, about the Pledge of Allegiance, one nation under God.
So we are out of time for today. Today we talked about cultural heritage and what's important to know where you came from, to know where you're going in life. Join
Mary,
us tomorrow.
I want to thank you for doing the show. You're doing a great job. And country, I want to thank you for your contributions. I couldn't do it because I'm working with my son today. As a matter of fact, I have to get busy again here. Thank you so much. And I knew that you would do a great job because I've listened to you a number of different times on your show and other people's shows. And you got your head in the right direction. You got your mind in the right direction, and you're doing the right things to help people. And thank you so much. Both of you, thank you so much.
Thank you. We're about our Father's business. Thank you for saying that, Oatman.
Thank you. Join us tomorrow at noon Eastern. We get to honor our guest host, Captain Len Cain, the original Top Gun, five-time Humanitarian Award, or Nobel Peace Prize nominee and Humanitarian Award.
I think I'm going to be on the show tomorrow. I'm available because I'm not going to work tomorrow. It's going to be too cold to work outside here in New Jersey. So.
And then keep in mind, we're encouraging everybody, each one teach one, do unto others before they do unto you. We want you to share the information that you're getting and bring somebody with you. We want to continue to grow, because anything that's living that doesn't grow, eventually dies. We want you to grow. We want you to know that we love you all, regardless on where you are. I would say something before we close out, like have a blessed and winning day, but we already know that our listeners out there, one good day is not going to be enough for you. So you guys have a blessed and winning decade, and join us the same time tomorrow as we serve up hope for lunch. It tastes great, and it's spiritually fulfilling.
Thank you, country.
Hope gives you the freedom to make the next steps in life. And I'm going to give you a call in a minute, country boy.
Okay.
So thank you for joining me today. Have a good day. Have a good week. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
Have a great
day,
everybody.
Bye for now.